Chapter 58. Woman, Agnes, Anthony is in the habit of meeting her in the storeroom on the first floor, over the leads. From my bedroom I distinctly heard voices there, last night. I opened my door immediately, and crept very softly onto the landing. There I saw Mr. Tibbs, who, it seems, had been disturbed also. Bless me, Mrs. Tibbs, you change color. No, it's nothing, returned Mrs. T in a hurried manner. It's only the heat of the room. A flush. Ejaculated Mrs. Bloss from the card table. That's good for four. If I thought it was Mr. Wispadel, said Mrs. Tibbs, after a pause, he should leave this house instantly. Said Mrs. Bloss again. And if I thought, continued the hostess with a most threatening air, if I thought he was assisted by Mr. Tibbs, one for his knob. Said Gobler. Said Evenson, in a most soothing tone he liked to make mischief. I should hope Mr. Tibbs was not in any way implicated. He always appeared to me very harmless. I have generally found him so, sobbed poor little Mrs. Tibbs, crying like a watering pot. Hush, hush. Pray Mrs. Tibbs consider we shall be observed, pray, don't. Said John Evenson, fearing his whole plan would be interrupted. We will set the matter at rest with the utmost care, and I shall be most happy to assist you in doing so. Mrs. Tibbs murmured her thanks. When you think everyone has retired to rest tonight, said Evenson very pompously, if you will meet me without a light, just outside my bedroom door, by the staircase window, I think we can ascertain who the parties really are, and you will afterwards be enabled to proceed as you think proper. Mrs. Tibbs was easily persuaded. Her curiosity was excited, her jealousy was roused, and the arrangement was forthwith made. She resumed her work, and John Evenson walked up and down the room with his hands in his pockets, looking as if nothing had happened. The game of cribbage was over, and conversation began again. Well, Mr. O'Bleary, said the humming top, turning round on his pivot, and facing the company, what did you think of Vauxhall the other night? It's very fair, replied Orson, who had been enthusiastically delighted with the whole exhibition. Never saw anything like that Captain Ross's set out, eh? Returned the Patriot, with his usual reservation except in Dublin. I saw the Count de Canky and Captain Fitz Thompson in the gardens, said Wispadel. They appeared much delighted. Then it must be beautiful, snarled Evenson. I think the White Bears is particularly well done, suggested Mrs. Bloss. In their shaggy white coats, they look just like polar bears, don't you think they do, Mr. Evenson? I think they look a great deal more like omnibus cats on all fours, replied the discontented one. Upon the whole, I should have liked our evening very well, gasped Gobler, only I caught a desperate cold which increased my pain dreadfully. I was obliged to have several shower baths before I could leave my room. Capital things those shower baths. Ejaculated Wispadel. Excellent. Said Tompkins. Delightful. Chimed in O'Bleary. He had once seen one, outside a Tinman's. Disgusting machines. Rejoined Evenson, who extended his dislike to almost every created object, masculine, feminine, or neuter. Disgusting, Mr. Evenson. Said Gobler, in a tone of strong indignation. Disgusting. Look at their utility, consider how many lives they have saved by promoting perspiration. Promoting perspiration, indeed, growled John Evenson, stopping short in his walk across the large squares, in the pattern of the carpet I was ass enough to to be persuaded some time ago to have one in my bedroom. Gad, I was in it once, and it effectually cured me, for the mere sight of it threw me into a profuse perspiration for 6 months afterwards. A titter followed this announcement, and before that subsided James brought up the tray, containing the remains of a leg of lamb which had made its debut at dinner, bread, cheese, an atom of butter in a forest of parsley, one pickled walnut and the third of another, and so forth. The boy disappeared, and returned again with another tray, containing glasses and jugs of hot and cold water. The gentlemen brought in their spirit bottles, the housemaid placed divers plated bedroom candlesticks under the card table, and the servants retired for the night. Chairs were drawn round the table, and the conversation proceeded in the customary manner. John Evenson, who never ate supper, lolled on the sofa, and amused himself by contradicting everybody. O'Bleary ate as much as he could conveniently carry, and Mrs. Tipps felt a due degree of indignation thereat. Mr. Gobler and Mrs. Bloss conversed most affectionately on the subject of pill-taking, and other innocent amusements, and Tompkins and Wispoddle got into an argument, that is to say, they both talked very loudly and vehemently, each flattering himself that he had got some advantage about something, and neither of them having more than a very indistinct idea of what they were talking about. An hour or two passed away, and the boarders and the plated candlesticks retired in pairs to their respective bedrooms. John Evenson pulled off his boots, locked his door, and determined to sit up until Mr. Gobler had retired. He always sat in the drawing room an hour after everybody else had left it, taking medicine, and groaning. Great Coram Street was hushed into a state of profound repose. It was nearly 2 o'clock. A hackney coach now and then rumbled slowly by, and occasionally some stray lawyer's clerk, on his way home to Somerstown, struck his iron heel on the top of the coal cellar with a noise resembling the click of a smoke jack. A low, monotonous, gushing sound was heard, which added considerably to the romantic dreariness of the scene. It was the water coming in at number 11. He must be asleep by this time, said John Evenson to himself, after waiting with exemplary patience for nearly an hour after Mr. Gobler had left the drawing room. He listened for a few moments. The house was perfectly quiet. He extinguished his rushlight, and opened his bedroom door. The staircase was so dark that it was impossible to see anything. Whispered the mischief maker, making a noise like the first indication a Catherine wheel gives of the probability of its going off. Hush! Whispered somebody else. Is that you, Mrs. Tibbs? Yes, sir. Where? Here. And the misty outline of Mrs. Tipps appeared at the staircase window, like the ghost of Queen Anne in the tent scene in Richard. This way, Mrs. Tipps, whispered the delighted busybody. Give me your hand there. Whoever these people are, they are in the storeroom now, for I have been looking down from my window, and I could see that they accidentally upset their candlestick, and are now in darkness. You have no shoes on, have you? No, said little Mrs. Tibbs, who could hardly speak for trembling. Well, I have taken my boots off, so we can go down, close to the storeroom door, and listen over the banisters. And downstairs they both crept accordingly, every board creaking like a patent mangle on a Saturday afternoon. It's Wispoddle and somebody, I'll swear, exclaimed the radical in an energetic whisper, when they had listened for a few moments. Hush, pray, let's hear what they say. Exclaimed Mrs. Tibbs, the gratification of whose curiosity was now paramount to every other consideration. Ah, if I could but believe you, said a female voice coquettishly, I'd be bound to settle my missus for life. What does she say? inquired Mr. Evenson, who was not quite so well situated as his companion. She says she'll settle her missus's life, replied Mrs. Tibbs. The wretch. They're plotting murder. I know you want money, continued the voice, which belonged to Agnes, and if you'd secure me the £500, I warrant she should take fire soon enough. What's that? Inquired Evenson again. He could just hear enough to want to hear more. I think she says she'll set the house on fire, replied the affrighted Mrs. Tibbs. But thank God I'm insured in the Phoenix. The moment I have secured your mistress, my dear, said a man's voice in a strong Irish brogue, you may depend on having the money. Bless my soul, it's Mr. O'Bleary. Exclaimed Mrs. Tibbs, in a parenthesis. The villain. Said the indignant Mr. Evenson. The first thing to be done, continued the Hibernian, is to poison Mr. Gobler's mind. Returned Agnes. What's that? Inquired Evenson again, in an agony of curiosity and a whisper. He says she's to mind, and poison Mr. Gobler, replied Mrs. Tibbs, aghast at this sacrifice of human life. And in regard of Mrs. Tibbs, continued O'Bleary. Mrs. Tibbs shuddered. Hush! Exclaimed Agnes, in a tone of the greatest alarm, just as Mrs. Tibbs was on the extreme verge of a fainting fit. Hush! Hush! Exclaimed Evenson, at the same moment to Mrs. Tibbs. There's somebody coming upstairs, said Agnes to O'Bleary. There's somebody coming downstairs, whispered Evenson to Mrs. Tibbs. Go into the parlor, sir, said Agnes to her companion. You will get there, before whoever it is, gets to the top of the kitchen stairs. The drawing room, Mrs. Tibbs. Whispered the astonished Evenson to his equally astonished companion, and for the drawing room they both made, plainly hearing the rustling of two persons, one coming downstairs, and one coming up. What can it be? Exclaimed Mrs. Tibbs. It's like a dream. I wouldn't be found in this situation for the world. Nor I, returned Evenson, who could never bear a joke at his own expense. Hush! Here they are at the door. What fun! Whispered one of the newcomers. It was Wispadel. Glorious! Replied his companion, in an equally low tone. This was Alfred Tompkins. Who would have thought it? I told you so, said Wispadel, in a most knowing whisper. Lord bless you, he has paid her most extraordinary attention for the last 2 months. I saw him when I was sitting at the piano tonight. Well, do you know I didn't notice it? Interrupted Tompkins. Not notice it. Continued Wispadel. Bless you. I saw him whispering to her, and she crying, and then I'll swear I heard him say something about tonight, when we were all in bed. They're talking of us. Exclaimed the agonized Mrs. Tibbs, as the painful suspicion, and a sense of their situation, flashed upon her mind. I know it, replied Evenson, with a melancholy consciousness, that there was no mode of escape. What's to be done? We cannot both stop here. Ejaculated Mrs. Tibbs, in a state of partial derangement. I'll get up the chimney, replied Evenson, who really meant what he said. You can't, said Mrs. Tibbs, in despair. You can't, it's a register stove. Hush. Repeated John Evenson. Hush, hush. Cried somebody downstairs. What a DD hushing. " said Alfred Tompkins, who began to get rather bewildered. "There they are! " exclaimed the sapient Wispaddle, as a rustling noise was heard in the storeroom. "Hark!" whispered both the young men. "Hark!" repeated Mrs. Tipps and Evenson. "Let me alone, sir," said a female voice in the storeroom. "Oh, Hans!" cried another voice, which clearly belonged to Tibbs, for nobody else ever owned one like it. "Oh, Hans, lovely creature!" "Be quiet, sir!" "A bounce!" "Hag!" "Be quiet, sir, I am ashamed of you! Think of your wife, Mr. Gutenberg edition." End of chapter.